We are waiting for one of our guests to arrive, and while we do that, we'll just talk in general terms about the subject matter. 2 days before Thanksgiving, Tuesday, November 20th, is International Transgender Day of Remembrance. The bathroom wars of a couple of years ago may have calmed for the moment, but there's still great distrust of people who change gender, and the distrust and even hatred can be expressed in extreme ways, including murder. Southern Oregon University's observance of Transgender Day of Remembrance includes the screening of the film Call Her Ganda. It's about the murder of a transgender woman in the Philippines several years ago. We are working to get P.J. Raval, the director of Call Her Ganda, on the phone. Call Her Ganda will be aired again as part, or screened as part of the ceremonies. And I believe P.J. Raval will be joining via Skype, but we can talk to Sean Carter at the Women's Resource Center at Southern Oregon University about that subject matter. So hi, Sean. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. So tell us about the how you managed to get P.J. Raval involved with Transgender Day of Remembrance at SOU.
Absolutely. So the opportunity was actually forwarded to us by communications faculty Christopher Lucas. He sent an email out to the Queer Resource Center, and then the Queer Resource Center, I'm working at the Women's Resource Center, and they forwarded the opportunity email over to me and asked if I wanted to be part of this since I'm helping plan and will be part of the ceremony for Transgender Day of Remembrance on the 20th. So then through that, we just worked together to figure out how we could pull together money in order to buy the screening rights to this documentary. And then Christopher Lucas was really instrumental in getting us in contact with the director and being able to Skype in and talk to us after the film screening on Sunday.
And Chris Lucas is actually in the room with us. I'm going to ask him to step into the conversation, and so we can talk about the process of going through this. So had you seen Call Her Ganda earlier at some point and realized what it was about?
I had not seen it. I still haven't seen it, actually, but I'm really excited and eager to do so. I've known P.J. Raval for years. We were in school together, actually, back in Austin, Texas, years ago. And we did some work together as documentary filmmakers. And so I guess it was 4 or 5 years ago, I was aware when he began to make this, and he suddenly started flying to the Philippines quite a bit. And nobody quite knew what he was making in terms of the details, but it was looking like it was going to be a really interesting and important project. He's done some pretty amazing films in the past. He did a great film about senior citizen gay men, which is an often a forgotten population. That film's called Before You Know It, and it's out there in lots of places. So that was just a really moving, just amazing film. So we were eager to see what Call Her Ganda was going to be.
So Sean Carter, how long has SOU observed Transgender Day of Remembrance? Mm-hmm.
So I don't have like the exact numbers on how long. I think that the official capacity and students actively participating and celebrating, remembering on their own is probably going to be a little bit different. Sometimes I know in the past this event has sometimes been run by the Gender, Sexuality, Women's Studies Department's Transgender Studies class, but this year it's being done by the Women's Resource Center and the Queer Resource Center.
And I believe we have P.J. Raval on the line now, the director of Call Her Ganda. P.J., thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So tell us about how you got involved in the project. What attracted your attention to the story of Jennifer Laude and her murder in the Philippines?
You know, I'm Filipino-American. I'm part of the LGBTQ plus community. And I grew up in the United States with very little knowledge about the Philippines, even though embarrassingly so, even though I am Filipino-American. So in late 2014, late November, I was invited to go to the Philippines to screen some of my previous documentary work. And I was really excited to go because I thought it was my opportunity to not only learn more about, my cultural heritage, but also just be introduced to the LGBTQ communities, because my trip was also coinciding with one of the first pride celebrations in this one specific town called Quezon City, which here in the United States would be the equivalent of saying like Brooklyn or mm-hmm. Oakland. And when I arrived, it was shortly after the death of Jennifer Laude. So I discovered a community that was on one hand celebrating and being proud of who they were, but at the same time, not even so much mourning over the loss of Jennifer Laude, but outraged over the loss, you know, over the loss of Jennifer Laude and her murder. So, you know, long story short, I ended up on a panel for LGBT rights, and I happened to be alongside attorney Virginia Suarez, who in the film we refer to as Virgie, is the attorney that was representing the Laude family. So I'm not the type of person who says, you know, I believe in fate, you know, or some kind of, you know, but it certainly felt like the universe was kind of telling me something, because on that panel, I learned about Jennifer Laude, and someone on the panel actually suggested I turn this into a film, because a lot of the people in the audience had just seen my previous work. And funny enough, at first I said, someone should absolutely make this film. It's super important and it's very timely, and it, you know, and exposes a lot of the injustice and, you know, long, lasting colonial legacy of the U.S. and the Philippines. But I said, I don't know if it should be me. I said, maybe it should be someone in the Philippines. Maybe it should be someone already on the ground and, you know, an activist. I certainly don't want to be someone who comes in and imposes my point of view. But then I got more and more comfortable with the idea after speaking to Virgie and, you know, some of the trans activists, and really kind of consulting with my close group of, you know, trusted friends and colleagues. And I started realizing, you know, I'm actually the person who needs to see this film. So I should really think about making a film and what it would do for someone like me, who is very unaware, because I grew up in the U.S. and I know firsthand how, you know, how the Philippines has been overlooked and kind of conveniently forgotten in certain U.S. history books. But also just being a member of the LGBT community, you know, this could be my contribution to whatever movement I see in place. So, you know, and then the last thing I also recognize the privilege I carry when I'm standing in the Philippines, and understanding all of those things, I thought maybe I'll bring an actual unique perspective, but also take advantage of the resources I have. And one of my friends was very upfront and said, you know, if you don't make this film, I don't know who else will, because certainly, you know, filmmakers in the Philippines maybe won't have enough resources the way you do to have a platform to really present it to the world. So after all of that, I said, yeah, you know what, I think I really will make this into a film, but I, you know, the first and foremost, I need to make sure I have permission from the family. So that was, for me, the first step was reaching out to the family through Virgie and making sure that I had their blessing and support, and they signed on pretty immediately. So from that point on, it was kind of, you know, I decided this would be my next project.
And the film is called Call Her Ganda. PJ Revolves, the director of that film, will be shown next Tuesday at Southern Oregon University as part of Transgender Day of Remembrance. We are talking with PJ Revolves, Sean Carter from the Women's Resource Center, and Communication Professor Chris Lucas. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So Jennifer Laude, about 25 years old, engaged to be married, was planning on leaving the Philippines in the near future, went to a club with a friend, met an American Marine named Joseph Pemberton, and here's where the clip that we grabbed out of the trailer picks up.
The two left the club with one of Jennifer's friends, went to a hotel where they were captured by security cameras.
You cannot help this case if you just know things about the murder, because it's not a simple case of murder. The relationship between the U.S. and the Philippines is really a relationship between a colonizer and a colony. With the VFA, it's like the Filipinos are being served in a silver platter.
There's a lack of justice in many trans people's lives. Members of our community are killed every day.
So, PJ Revolves, you ended up with a lot to unpack here. This sounds like peeling the onion, in a sense, that you started off with a murder case. It becomes involves transgender justice issues. It involves international relations and imperialism on the part of the United States, and on and on, it sounds like it went.
Yeah, for sure. But you know what? Part of me really wanted to embrace how complex and interconnected all of this, you know, is. And I think it really is. Like, in the film, Naomi Fontanos, who's one of the trans activists, she says, you know, the fight for transgender rights is justice for all. And I actually really believe that, because there's so much that is, interconnected in terms of misogyny, in terms of transphobia, in terms of how, you know, people in certain privileged classes devalue, you know, other lives. And I think that's something that spans across the board. So I was really willing to jump in here and say, okay, this is a really complicated matter. Let's treat it in truly how complicated it is, because if we simplify it, that's part of the problem.
Knowing not a great deal about the Filipino justice system, but certainly having heard President Duterte in the Philippines advocate that people go out and kill drug dealers, I can imagine that justice might have been at best a bit spotty in the execution of the justice in this case.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the things that's really problematic is that, you know, President Duterte has made allies in the LGBT community, because he has made statements saying that he is for certain rights. But we also have to take into consideration, you know, he's basically waged a war on poverty, and a lot of trans people are poor, you know. And so Jennifer Laude, you know, is someone who is coming from that, economically struggling class. And just to put things into perspective, one of Jennifer's friends, who we actually see briefly in the film, is now in jail, accused of drug usage. And I don't think that has to do with her necessarily being trans. I think it has to do with her being poor. But obviously, the two are interconnected.
And I want to turn back to Sean Carter at the Women's Resource Center. Have you had a chance to see the film yourself yet?
No, I haven't. But I've gotten to see bits and pieces and a trailer, and it looks really impactful.
Uh-huh. And so the appeal here for Transgender Remembrance, Transgender Day of Remembrance, International Transgender Day of Remembrance, I mean, it sounds like you're not just trying to appeal to trans people on campus, but you want a broader community to take this film in as well.
Yeah, absolutely. There's the vigil often held of Transgender Day of Remembrance, and that's often a space for like mourning and healing for trans folks. And then there's also like an activist element to Transgender Day of Remembrance, of showing folks that there's still a lot of violence that happens against our community. And so I think having both the vigil on Tuesday and the film screening on Sunday kind of marries those elements together in a way that I haven't really seen done as much before.
PJ Raval, we haven't exactly hit the nail on the head yet. Was Jennifer Laude killed because she was transgender?
You know, I think that's the question, right? Was she killed because she's trans, or because she's poor, or because she's Filipino and she was up against a U.S. Marine? You know, I think it's all of these things. It can't just be one of them. And that's where I'm saying we really have to understand that it can't be simplified like that. But what we can do is recognize it. And I think that's the first step of really understanding, you know, what we're all, up against.
Well, and we talked about the aspect of international relations here, and there is something called the Visiting Forces Agreement that apparently caused some interference in this case. What is that?
Yeah, so basically, because the United States is a former colony of the Philippines, when the U.S. handed back the Philippines independence, certain agreements were in place so that the U.S. could retain having a military presence. And I'm coming from the perspective of, I don't think it's as simple as just saying, you know, the Philippines can function without the United States. But what I am saying is that it's definitely an unequal relationship. And here is a case. There's a agreement called the Visiting Forces Agreement, which is technically a bilateral agreement between the United States and the Philippines. But in summary, what it does is it allows the U.S. to retain any jurisdiction over military personnel that might be accused of a crime. However, it does not state what will happen if the military is convicted of a crime. So I think already you can see that there's a gross imbalance there, with the assumption that no one will ever be convicted of a crime. And that's why this was one of the first cases that really challenged that aspect of this agreement.
And I noticed that in his trial, he did go to trial, Joseph Pemberton did, for the murder of Jennifer Laude in the Philippines. Then 3 months in, he claimed self-defense because he realized that Jennifer Laude had been male at some point. So that came into the trial proceedings. And the verdict was homicide but not murder, which is a little hard to figure out in American justice.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to clarify, basically, Pemberton used, and his defense, really, used a strategy which people are referring to as trans panic defense, right? Like, he basically said he panicked because he didn't realize Jennifer was transgender. Now, the thing with that is, even here in the United States, you know, we've certainly had cases that incorporate that idea, maybe even, you know, gay panic defense, like with Matthew Shepard, right? His killers basically said they freaked out because he was gay. And it's actually been outlawed in several states in the United States using this kind of rationale, because basically what it does is it opens the door for hate crimes, right? Like, for me to say, you know, I discovered you were Jewish and I had to kill you because I was so freaked out, like, clearly that's problematic. So why should we not take that same stance if it comes to someone as part of the LGBTQ community? The thing that's really tragic about this is that defense strategy had never been used before in the Philippines. And of course, it takes an American soldier to use that defense strategy. So for me, it's just another example of some kind of colonization or imperialization. It's just happening now in the court system of the Philippines, unfortunately.
PJ Raval, I have to ask before we go, we got about a minute left, about the time you spent with Julita Laude, Nane, Jennifer's mom, and what that was like for you, and how you guys found a rapport.
Yeah, she's amazing. I mean, she's part of, you know, Jennifer's mom is really one of the reasons why I made this film. I saw a clip of her that Virgie showed me that she had recorded on her cell phone, and I was just so moved by how passionate, you know, and how willing she was, willing to take on basically the U.S., you know, government. And here's a woman who's from a very rural area with a very limited education, and she gets it, you know, and she's not afraid. And I find that something is, you know, really bold and inspiring. And you know, I do want to say one last thing is, you know, this film, it does take place in the Philippines, but I want people to realize that, you know, under the current Trump administration, there is a memo that's being circulated by the Department of Health and Human Services that basically would eliminate transgender identity and people who are trans or gender nonconforming from being protected from any civil rights protection law.
Right.
And because of that, that also extends to the Philippines as well. And so I'm hoping what people will see by watching this film is that they also feel inspired to see what happens when people rise up and, you know, join in solidarity trying to fight some kind of gross injustice. And if it can happen in the Philippines, I think it could certainly happen here in the United States.
Okay. Sean Carter, quickly, when the movie screening?
Sunday in the Music Recital Hall.
4 p.m. Sunday. Okay, mm-hmm. So 2 days in advance of Transgender Day of Romero. Okay, 4 p.m. Sunday, Music Recital Hall, Southern Oregon University. Sean Carter with the Women's Resource Center. Chris Lucas from Communications. PJ Raval, the director of Call Her Ganda. Thank you all for joining us on The Exchange.